Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This episode is brought to you by Rain Clothing.
That's R-A-N-E Clothing. Check them out on Facebook. Check out their roster of bands as well.
Rain Clothing, on a mission for music.
This is Mandy Lee, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we need to do some a little balancing act after last week. We mentioned before that the problem with being an edgy comedian is that you get lumped in with trash. And this week, we're going to explore that trash. Here in studio this week is former Youngstown comedian and now based in Akron, AJ Georgie.
How's it going, everybody?
Going well, AJ. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thanks for driving in from Akron.
Yeah, it was fun. Fun times.
So, AJ, why do you hate Zach Hudak?
Well, it's because I feel like art has a certain amount of integrity, especially comedy. And if we're going to call it art, you know, we can't accept everything. Everything isn't good.
That's very true.
I.e. Jeff Dunham.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like a broad stroke, I guess. Yeah.
It's a broad stroke. I mean, Jeff Dunham has jokes.
Yes. There's no jokes here.
There's no, like, let me be perfectly clear. The if you want to be a little bit racially edgy, or religiously edgy or politically edgy with your comedy, it's fine. Have some jokes is all I ask. Just some jokes. And this guy that we're discussing today doesn't have any fucking jokes. Basically, the problem with him is that he's one of these guys that really got into Stern, like early Stern, back when he was finding his footing. And I was like, this is how I'm going to do comedy. And I think audiences and show bookers around the Midwest have told them that he's wrong. But somehow I still know people that pay him.
Yeah, yeah, it still happens. I have no idea how it happens. Seems like a lot of it is him booking his own shit.
Yeah.
Which... And that's really all the main basis of his income in the business. The business.
The business.
The business.
Like it's wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'd like to watch him take a spot. I mean, I've never met the dude. I've never met Zach Hudak. I don't want to. Like I was telling you, I looked him up about a year ago because, like I said, I got friends from Pittsburgh. You know, Jesse Irvin and John Dick Winters, and they were going at him fucking hard last year. And it was fucking. I had no idea who the dude was, but I was like, if they hate him and they're saying he's a piece of shit, I trust both of them. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I looked him up on YouTube. Watched about a 5-minute video of his stand-up. I can't believe I made it 5 minutes because I was like waiting to laugh. Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
We here at Let the Hate Flow Through You do not recommend you descend into the Zach Hudak on YouTube rabbit hole.
The rabbit hole.
No, it doesn't. At least it doesn't go very deep, which is really nice. There's only maybe 14 things, and a good majority of them are his podcast.
Ah.
So, yeah, you're not missing anything down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, apparently he was welcomed on to Black Squirrel Radio once or twice, which hopefully that problem's been fixed, but we'll see. So what was your first experience with Zach Hudak?
My first conscious experience was at a
From what I hear, he likes them when they're unconscious.
Yeah.
Zing.
Ow. It was at a comedy contest, I believe, at the Funny Farm back when it was still in Mojo's over in Youngstown area. It's Austintown, technically.
Yeah.
I was on that show. I can't remember who was. I think maybe like Jesse Huber or somebody. He's in Columbus now. I think he booked it. And there's a couple other people on there with me. Dwayne Duke, specifically. And that was when his piss flaps joke was born. Dwayne Duke's piss flaps joke.
Yeah. If you ever heard Dwayne do that, this is who he's talking about.
Yeah, it's and it was one of those things where I was still so new that I was like, is this what comedy's supposed to be? Have I been doing this wrong the whole time? Sitting at home, alone, writing jokes, staring off into the void, studying all these comedians.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this is the exact wrong way to do comedy.
What happened during his set in that that really made you question what was going on?
Oh, it was just like there was no rhythm to it. There were no punchlines. Mm-hmm. It was just like a fucking Shaggy Dog story. And then that was it. He walks off stage. Like, there was nothing to it. Like, I had no idea how he even actually got into the whole thing. Oh, well, of course. It was a fucking contest, so nobody was checking anything.
Yeah, no. It's if you're booking a contest, it's because you're lazy. So you're not going to check everybody that signs up.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that was my first exposure. And there's only been a handful. Most of my exposure has been to him and what he does on the internet.
Yeah, which, I've had him blocked for a couple of years now on all social media just because I kept him around just to kind of make sure, you have people that is like, I want to see where you're at, so I'm not there.
Yeah.
You eventually posted something that like pissed me off, mostly because he was picking on Eric Williams, and only I'm allowed to pick on Eric Williams. So I jumped in, and it got me heated because, his argument for what he was doing was free speech. And that's
no fucking argument, man.
But free speech doesn't cover hate speech. Like, there's a difference.
No, I agree that there's a people, that's what people use it for. Like,
yeah.
I actually have a fucking joke about that whole thing, and it's true. Like, people, at this point in time, there's two groups of people, and I'm not going to tell the whole fucking bit. I'm just saying, like, there's two groups of people. It's either vie for free speech. It's either hate mongers or people who are all about free speech until you say a word they don't like, and you can't say it.
Yeah, yeah. In actuality, everything's in the middle somewhere. But when it's weaponized speech and it's oppressing a group of people, it's not free speech anymore.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, right.
There's a power dynamic to that. When you're like actively using some kind of, I don't know, terminology or what have you that is like marginalizing a group, you're not expressing free speech, you're just being a huge dick.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, there are times when like it's okay to do that
in
context, but with Hudak, what we're talking about here there's no context involved because the content of what he does is just the hate speech.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at a party on Saturday, and I was giving Dwayne shit about being black because, it just was. I was like, let's put on all these awful black comics. And you know, here, Dwayne, this is what you're going to grow up to be.
That's so funny.
Dwayne Duke is the next Mike Epps.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was just me. It was just lighthearted joshing among them. And then he puts on Zach Hudak and is like, that's your people. I'm like, you're a monster.
Dude, yeah. Zing, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Fucking zing.
Oh, he got me there. And then all of a sudden I heard the simile like a bar mitzvah in a concentration camp. And I was like, well, I'm tuned out now.
Yeah. It's just, it's not good natured in any way, you know. And he doesn't, he always attacks down, you know.
Yeah.
And that's my big problem with him is he's always aiming down as opposed to going up. And if he does go up, he's attacking people for the wrong reasons. Like he'll rant and rave about Amy Schumer, but he only makes fun of the fact that she's a woman. And that's not anything to do with her comedy.
No, it has nothing to do with her. Like, I don't understand. Like he has this thing where he's proud of being blocked by her on Twitter, which I don't get. It's fucking Twitter. Like that's not an accomplishment. It's kind of like how you see people that get they get real proud when they get retweeted by somebody famous. It's the opposite of that. But
I think it's more impressive that my buddy Jason got blocked by Matt Skiba from Alkaline Trio because he just kept tweeting him about his bean skins. And Matt Skiba finally was like, had enough, but had accidentally followed him first.
Oh, that's so funny.
Before he like realized it, my buddy Jason just kept fucking with him. It was so funny. And then he finally blocked him. So good.
Yeah, but that's a bit. And that's bean skins.
Right, bean skins, which doesn't even fucking mean anything. It's just dumb, dude.
It's harmless. It's harmless. He blocked him because he was annoyed.
Right.
Like, he recently got booted off. Hudak recently got booted off of Twitter for basically, you know, calling somebody the N-word. Which is how he got brought up into my consciousness again. Because it's like I blocked him for a reason. He makes me angry.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
People out there, like one of my like mental illness triggers is blatant racism, and so I just I was like, okay, I'm not gonna deal with this anymore. It's just, let's compartmentalize this into, it exists in this world. I only have to worry about him if I want to do a show in Youngstown.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, is he Pittsburgh or is he Youngstown?
He's Pittsburgh. Okay. He can't get booked in Pittsburgh. Too many people hate him. Too many people hate him.
He can't get booked in Pittsburgh, no. So he goes to Youngstown.
Yeah, he goes to Youngstown.
Go to Philly or something.
He goes to Youngstown or Altoona, and or like the surrounding boroughs of that area, is like Katanning.
Where his racism is openly accepted.
Yeah, where it's like, I like the thing about Zach Hudak as a character is like, he has to exist because I exist. Like, we're intellectual opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have the same backstory, but, like, somehow there's, like, a branching off in the universe, and I went one direction, he went the other.
Yeah, like an Earth 2 kind of thing.
Yeah, like, we're both from, like, small towns that are, like, north of Pittsburgh. I'm from, like, northwest of Pittsburgh. He's from northeast of Pittsburgh. Our towns are, like, similar in demographic. His town's, like, all Irish, Polish, and Italian. And mine's all Italian, Polish, and Russian. Like, it's wacky.
Yeah.
And they're both manufacturing towns. And you're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
I went off and, like, went to Youngstown, Ohio, and, like, went to school and, like, started, like, learning about other people. And I got really interested in language. And he, like, went off. I don't even know what the fuck he did. I know he went to college for, like, political science or something. Because that's what you do. No, it was
perfect.
Maybe it was forensics. It's one of those two things. And then
Zach Hudak, which, like I said, never met him before, but that's who I want cleaning up crime scenes.
Yeah, but like it was one of those things that when I met him, I was like, this guy is the alternate universe me. This is we could have been the same person.
Yeah,
had I stayed in my hometown and just listened to all the fucking
all ignorant
the people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So it's just interesting that he exists as a person, and he fills me with so much rage. It's it's amazing.
Does he know he fills you with rage?
I don't know.
Yeah,
and I think that's become kind of like a base, like a blanket argument for most people, is they just hate him. They just, everybody hates him.
Well, and that's totally fine. Like, I mean, dude, when you're a piece of shit, like when somebody's a piece of shit, I love when everybody fucking hates him.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Great. It's great.
It's nice. You feel like there's some kind of justice there. And then there's always those moments where you're like, well, maybe I've been wrong. So, like, I'll check in, and I'll be like, no, I was right. I was right the whole time.
Still right.
Why did I doubt myself? I should have known.
Yeah. I'm hesitant to bring up everything that, like, has pissed me off that he's done because, you know, there are going to be people listening that are like, I want to check this guy out. Like, don't do it. Like, there's honestly nothing to be seen here.
I'd say just based on listenership, I'd say we have a pretty good mix of people. Right. You know, most of them, though, going to be pissed off if they check him out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard line. Very alt-right, very...
He was alt-right before it was a thing.
Yeah, very much
he's
before.
He's the hipster of alt-right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Before you could give that a name, he was definitely it.
There was a name for it about 70 years ago. They were called Nazis.
Oh, there, yeah. I remember them. Nice Hugo Boss suits used to wear.
About 80 years before that, they were called Confederates.
Yeah, well, you know, blatant state-sponsored racism. Yeah, that's what it was. But he's, like, you know, he's another, like, ethnic nobody in the Midwest. Not really a white guy. So, like, get off your high horse, bitch.
He's not white?
I mean, look, if you really want to get down into...
Wait, before you go on, I said that so wrong. Wait, he's not white? Like, dude, that was fucked up. I hope everybody knows what I meant by that. But if not, I'm not apologizing.
No, man. So. like, I hate to break it to you people, but if you really want to get down into racism, if you really want to go down that rabbit hole, you Eastern European motherfuckers aren't white.
Does Sorry. That make me not white? I'm Czech.
You're not white.
Oh, man.
Unless you're a wasp, you're not white.
You thought we were going to lose listeners from last week's episode. You telling me I'm not white? It just cut half of them out.
They're all gone.
He's El Jordano Diablo. Yeah.
Not Spanish at all, but I adopted it. Okay. Latino? Is that? Not Spanish, because that's one part of the world. So Latino.
Yeah.
Look, hey, Jerry, Pete's coming.
Yeah. 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 Producer Pete wants to say thanks. I've been saying that for years.
Go back to fucking, where is it? Croatia.
Boom.
He was born in Croatia. Pete was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I've only heard good things about Croatia.
I had one of my best friends growing up was Croatian, and I always hung out at his house with his family. Food was amazing. But yeah, it's you know, if you're one of those ethnicities and you're alt-right, you are making a big mistake because you're next.
Yeah, yeah. Happened before.
Yeah. It's, that's, you know, when they're talking about white supremacy, they're not talking about you.
No.
They're talking about white Anglo-Saxon Protestants from, you know, Western Europe.
Yeah.
That's it.
So that means no Irish.
No Irish either, because they're Catholic.
The strange thing about the Irish is that they're the reason why Catholicism made it to the United Kingdom in the first place, and they're Celtic.
Mm.
Like, what the hell happened there?
Wasn't Catholicism, wasn't that born in Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But what ended up happening is it made this route through all these, like, translations and whatnot, okay? The Goths, I don't want to get too deep. I study language for a living, so okay, I've got all this history. But, like, the Goths ended up being one of the first groups to translate it out of Latin into another language, and then the Goths kind of spread, and they took over the Roman Empire, and then the Roman Empire started to bleed over into what would be the islands that were the United Kingdom/Ireland, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, you had the Danes and the Jutes and shit. They all, like, settled there for a little bit, and then they had their wars, and then the Normans invaded, and then slowly Christianity decided to trickle its way, you know, during all those fighting times. And it was mostly the Celts that started to bring it in. They started in Ireland, then they moved through Scotland. That's why there's, like, two versions of Gaelic. There's Irish Gaelic, and there's Scotch Gaelic.
Mm.
Yeah, it's weird shit. Like, the history of Catholicism in, like, the United Kingdom and most of the westernized world is pretty fucking crazy.
I'd honestly just like to sit down and talk with you about that sometime. Yeah, like, that sounds like, actually, I love history, so it'd be a great time.
Yeah, I know there's portions of that I've missed.
Sure, sure. But I mean, you don't have a fucking general book in front of
like,
you. Like,
just,
but,
yeah.
No, I mean, like, with anyway, offshoot for a minute, but like every time I watch Braveheart, which is like once every 4 years, I like go and I read. I'm like, all right, what really happened?
Yeah,
and it's like it's a much more interesting story than that movie. Don't get me wrong, the movie's good, but it is not accurate at all.
No, they had to Hollywood it up.
Oh, dude, they butchered it. They just butchered the whole story. But either way,
yeah.
Can you do? I don't know why I'm talking about Braveheart.
Tangents, man.
Yeah, the tangents happen on the show.
You need it. You need it. You need it to lighten it back up.
Yeah,
right.
Before we delve back into this monster that we're dealing with. And yes, I use the word monster in the way that you're supposed to use the word monster, because allegations happened. I tend to believe them.
I believe it.
It's a very touchy subject, only because, you know, it's a very serious allegation. But, you know, the word going around the campfire is he showed up to a show, insisted on buying one of the other comedians on the show a drink. And after said drink was consumed, she got a little woozy and had to be helped out.
And then there was other people. It might have been the bartender. I don't remember all the details. Like, I heard this from Pittsburgh people that he was seen trying to put shit in people's drinks. Like, he's been seen trying to do that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. It's touchy because, you know, the tendency with these sorts of allegations is that if it's an easy target, you're more likely to believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, oh, well, this guy's a scumbag. Obviously, he's a rapist.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, we've pointed out, like, this specific incident happened. People know about it. Word's been getting around. And then, you know, you have people in the service industry going, yeah, like, we've seen him try this kind of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got, if you're booking this guy, you're going to have to deal with that. So good luck.
Be weary, not woozy.
Yeah, you know.
I've been roofied once. A guy gave me a shot of Patron at Annabelle's, and I immediately felt my legs go, and I got the fuck over to my friend's house and passed out.
Yeah, dude. No, the only time I've had any kind of date rape drug is when I did it myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was like 21, and my buddy, this kid, well, buddy at the time, that I hung out with and I let live with me. Bad choice. He was like, dude, I got some GHB. And I immediately like went on the defense. I'm like, what the fuck for, dude? He's like, no. He's like, I take it at festivals. It just makes you feel drunk. And I'm like, all right, cool. Well, let me try it. And I was like, it's just like that warm fucking, I mean, I did like a tiny, tiny little
bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a capful of it,
yeah,
right?
Like that tiny, tiny little bit I did. Like, no wonder it's a fucking rape drug, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it hits you instantly.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's like a dissociative, too. So you're like, not quite inside of yourself,
right,
but it's all going on, yeah.
Yeah, it's there are people that use that when they're bodybuilding, too.
GHB?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with GBH.
No.
The great band.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who I saw in Colorado. They were great.
Party.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Lots of good shows in Colorado, but
I never got to see them. I saw the UK subs, though. That was cool.
I saw them,
also
too.
Also very good.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's out there. Zach, if you're listening, and I know you are because somebody's talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're thinking about...
Your ears are burning.
You're thinking about suing me for bringing that up. Good luck, buddy.
Hey, and on top of that, you'd have better luck just letting know Danze we're using his song.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have better luck getting us sued that way because fuck you, dude. Mm-hmm. I know a couple good lawyers, and Jeremy's dad's a lawyer.
Don't tell him that.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Edit that out.
Edit point one. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's my dad is a lawyer, but like that has nothing to do with
it. Oh, no, it was a joke.
Was, yeah. I have other lawyers. But
dude, that's what it's going to say on your gravestone. I have other lawyers. Oh, I still think what George Carlin wanted on his was the best. He was just here a minute ago.
That is pretty good. Yeah. But, so, why is Zach Hood, like, he's somebody that has been pretty much blacklisted from every venue in Pittsburgh, not only because of the attempted rape allegations and the drugging people's drinks, but also because, you know, he's not funny and hateful. But why should we care?
We shouldn't. I think that's the big thing, is like, you got to be aware of the things that you shouldn't care about. Is because, like, I mean, there are people who are trying to do something different and interesting, right? And there are people that are edgy, and those people, and there are very good people who are very good at that. Mm-hmm. I think you should be paying attention to them and not to people who are like kind of degrading what would be the art form as a whole.
Well, and it's just cheap. That's just cheap, dude. Like, there's like you were saying, there's two routes to go.
Yeah.
There's the one that, like, Shear took. There's the one. I'm going to stop calling him Zach Hudak. It's, from now on, it's Hudak. Like, I just want to get his name wrong. Zach Hudak. That's, I guess, fuck that dude.
But, yeah, it's, like, there are ways to be smart and and edgy. And you can see it on in good jokes from people who can tell edgy, smart jokes. Fucking Tim Wolfe can tell a joke about virtually any subject, and I've heard him tell jokes about virtually any subject in some of the smartest ways possible. Yeah. Right?
We just had him on the last Sad Boys show. He was amazing.
And it's an art, you know, because so much of comedy has to come from shit that you're fucked up about.
Oh yeah.
Right? It's comes from a dark place. All the stuff I talk about is related to death in some way. Right, you've got your fears, you got to find your ways to express them, and you can take any subject. It doesn't matter whether it's like incredibly, you know, racially charged or like pushes the envelope on what should be right, but you got to get just close enough to that taboo, and that's what makes it funny. Mm-hmm. You don't need to step over the line, because then you're just, it's just hate speech.
Yeah, well,
and it has to have a punchline.
It absolutely has to have a punchline. The punchline can't just be I said a naughty thing.
Yeah.
Which there are still people that do that and get work. I mean, it's part of the reason why, you know, when you're working at places that have a lot of road guys, like, they ask you to be clean. Because, you know, if you're dirty up front and then you've got some asshole that's been on the road for 25 years that still says fuck as a punchline,
mm-hmm.
and you were dirty up front, that fuck as a punchline isn't going to fucking work.
Yeah.
So it's just what it is. But the bigger issue with this guy is that there are no jokes.
No.
The joke is that he's calling somebody a towel head. The joke is that...
That's not a joke.
Yeah, well, that was the last time I got angry at him, because right. he called somebody a sandtard.
A sandtard?
Yeah.
That's not one I've heard before.
Yeah, which, like, you know, I do insults. Like, I get it. It's just, like, that it can't be it. Like, when you're, especially because this is some kid. It was the kid that made the clock mm-hmm. that got suspended from school. Call him a sandtard. Why? Because, you know, Barack Obama was in support of him. That's the only reason why to get on that kid's shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that made me mad. But, yeah, he has nothing. And when you engage him online, which is generally how, like...
anybody interacts with him?
Yeah, because, you know, he only exists really online. You know, your opportunities to see him are if one of the Huffs books him, one of the awkward boner guys in Alliance have had him on a couple of shows, and Lori Spall lets him come up and do stuff in Alliance, but other than, and then she put her picture up with him afterwards, and I was like, all right,
well, I'm done there.
Yeah. It's like, okay, if, like, yeah, when I found out that he was going to these places, I canceled my only booking I've ever had with the Huffs, because he was supposed to be a judge.
Yeah.
What is he judging? He doesn't know how to judge a joke. He's never written one.
Yeah. It was just, you know, I figured it, you know, hey, these guys are, these Huff guys, they're trying to do some things in Youngstown, and I haven't really met a lot of these people. So, you know, I'll give them a shot. And then I see that, and I'm like, nope.
So I have a question. Have you ever had, like, what are your interactions with him? Like, what, like, give me, like, the number one interaction with him with you where you're just like, fuck this guy.
That's the thing, is I never really had to do too much talking with him. Really? It's all been like, oh, you're on the show, okay. And I just kind of fade into the background. Because I'm pretty socially awkward as is.
Yeah.
And especially at shows, you can definitely ask Shear. Like, I'm not much of a talker. Mm. I don't have much to say. I'm spaced the fuck out. That's just my personality.
Sure.
Because I'm always just lost in my own head. And especially because my nerves are so bad leading up to performing, it's harder to talk to me than afterwards. So my few interactions with him have been very, very short. And I've just been paying attention to what I see on the stage. Mm. And because I'm afraid in that situation, too, it's like if I become friendly with this guy, then I'm going to have this news kind of thrust upon me in a way that I don't want to put myself through. I'd much rather just see what his shitty art is and then judge it based on that and see if I can glean his personality from it. And as it turns out, personality is just as shitty as the art.
Yeah.
It's odd because I think the defenders of Zach Hudak would say he's a sweet boy. And, you know, frankly, it's just the limited online interactions I've had with him would suggest otherwise.
He gets immediately, like, everything I've seen is he gets immediately, like, fucking defensive and offensive at the same time.
Yeah, that's like, what he does. You can't have an intellectual discussion with him because he always feels like he's being victimized, so he decides to lash out.
Don't be
out
an
at
asshole
you.
And you won't be fucking victimized, you know? Or whatever you want to call
like
it.
Like, he plays a victim, and then he will lash out about it, and that's what he does. And I found out the best way to deal with him in online situations is just to play to his homophobia. Like, I'm just like, okay, babe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. I just got a message from my husband, Anthony Savat, in case you didn't know. I know I hate reading things on a podcast, but it's just synchronicity that this happened right now.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was back to antagonizing Zach Hudak. He posted something about Hillary being the Buffalo Bills. I said that that didn't make any sense at all and commended him for staying on brand.
So, there it is.
My genius husband. Yeah, like I didn't tell Anthony that we were doing a podcast about this today. So it just
serendipity. He just showed it to me. Yeah, that's fucking great, man.
So funny.
Yeah, but so that's where you have the most because he produces the image macros and the status updates, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So you know. Best option is just block him on all fronts. He has two Twitter accounts to block.
Yeah, he's also got several Facebooks. So it's one of those things that like he's had to branch out because he gets banned so much because somebody gets pissed at something that he has to say. That's normally a good indication that you're going about in the wrong fucking way. Like you don't need to make more, you know, fucking Facebook like versions of yourself like to fucking cover your own ass.
Yeah.
Like what are you doing?
Yeah.
There are some people that get banned that shouldn't be. Like Nick Mullen just got banned again because he put a video up of watching a movie on television where you can see Christopher Lambert's balls. And he pointed out that you could see Christopher Lambert's balls.
Beautiful.
And he got kick banned for that, it's which like, is ridiculous.
Joe McCormick gets banned pretty frequently too, and I think a lot of what he does is so ironic in its own way that it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I've I got mad at Joe McCormick once, and no, twice. Once early on in his career, I got mad at him because he insisted that fisting was not something you could do with someone that you love.
Yeah, that sounds right. Sounds like a conversation that would happen.
Yeah. Between me and Joe, yes. It happened at the Sachsenheim. I got angry. I was so like, funny. No, you can totally fist somebody that you love. Some people like it.
Speaking from experience?
Well.
Well.
All right. I'll be honest. I've only fisted someone that I didn't really like. And let, you know. I put two fists in her butt.
Wow. Jeez, man.
Yeah, if I did that to somebody, it probably would be somebody I didn't like either.
Did you lift her up over your head when you did? Like, hammer throw?
It's like a human pom-pom, dude.
You think like her lower intestine? Just.
I was hesitant to say that because, like, saying it, I'm not really proud of it.
As well you shouldn't be. Well, I'm not telling you what to be proud of.
Jeremy Shear is not a proud fister. Yeah. The reluctant
Jeremy
fisting.
Shear. Jeremy fisting? Shear. Only if it's two.
Yeah, it was. That was a weird time in my life.
I think that's a weird time in anybody's life, man. Oh, shit. No, I was going to say. Yeah, you know, you guys were talking about blocking Zach Hudak. Zach, if you're listening, I won't. At El Hordano Diablo. Come at me, bro. It's been a while since I've argued with a moron.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The one time I interacted with him, because I was angry at this image macro that he did, calling that kid a Santard, and him antagonizing Eric Williams, who was, you know, righteously angry about it, which, you know, going back to what we said last week, I have a bit of a problem with people, like, you know, getting righteously angry over shit like that, so I didn't want to jump into that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And his only arguments were free speech and that I'm going to be famous someday. That's it. Like, there really wasn't any other, you know, not this is good. I mean, he did say it was an awesome meme. It was not.
He made a meme and said it was awesome?
Yeah.
If you make a meme, doesn't it just imply that you think it's awesome if you made it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but just he has to clear that up. That was his defense. That it was an awesome meme. He has a right to say whatever he wants. The liberals can talk anything they want about this subset of people that is not, you know, race or religion. But, you know, you pick on somebody for their race and then they get all heated about it, which is a dumb argument. But, you know, it's, I think the last thing I said to him was this long, convoluted thing about how it doesn't matter how famous he gets, I will still be better than him.
I mean, it's going to always be true, so.
Yeah, so. Because, you know, that's another thing that always gets my goats is when people try to big time me. Because that's like when you're big timing somebody, that is that indicates to me that you have nothing.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely.
And I've talked about this with a couple of people, but it's a dog whistle for crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's like half his podcast is name dropping. Like, that's what he does. He name drops. You know, he's like, I know this guy writing for this. He lives in Youngstown. I know this guy who lives out here. He's doing this thing. It's unimpressive, man. I mean, do your own shit. Like, do something that's worth, you know, people's time.
Like, yeah, but the thing is like, clearly the dude doesn't want to work at anything.
No. And it's funny because he'll lash out at people in that way that is common of, like, the discourse of, like, alt-right people, and that, like, everybody wants to be handed something now. Nobody wants to work.
The irony, I mean, from both sides, like, the irony on the left and the right, because, I mean, socially speaking, I'm a pretty fucking liberal person, but, yeah. Like, on both sides of it, man, the irony of the far left or far right.
Oh, yeah, it's insane.
They fucking mirror each other.
Yeah.
Just in different ways, man. It sometimes it breaks my brain, and I'm just like, what? How the fuck can you say that about this person? But it just doesn't make any sense. That's the kind of shit that pisses me off.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You can't, like, really in your lifetime, you shouldn't be an extremist in anything. It's really what it comes down to. If you start to, like, get into an ideology too deep, then you're just an asshole.
Right.
That's really it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said last week, there is no black and white. Everything is shades of gray, and if you're leaning one way or the other, like extra hard, that's when you should know something's not right in your head. Like, that's like the, you know, I've had to take more responsibility for my own mental health as I've gotten older, especially because I'm off my meds.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing that I look for, like, do I have delusions of grandeur? Is that what's going on here? If I'm getting like a little heated, like, do I think more highly of myself than I should? I am. Well, I'm going crazy and I'm symptomatic and I need to stop. Do I think like there's only one way you can think about this certain thing? I do. Well, I'm symptomatic and I need to fuck off.
Yeah.
So it's when I see people get like that, it really irritates me. But I think, you know, it's odd that we're talking about a guy that in the grand scheme of things is probably meaningless. The reason that we talk about him is he's dangerous.
Yeah.
And it was brought up, again, my lovely husband, Anthony Savat. He took a picture of a gun with his dick out next to it and sent it to Tim Ross, a Pittsburgh comedian.
Yeah.
As a threat. Which, Anthony's commentary, because fags, I guess. Dicks are gay, but dicks and guns is edgy. So saith Anthony Savat. Yeah. He threatens people with, you know, shooting them. And the last threat, he had a disagreement with somebody on Twitter. And, like, it's beyond, like, calling somebody the N-word on Twitter. He showed up to somebody's house and said, "Where's your N-word son?"
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a fight. So he's not, you know, is not a safe person to be around. So it's best for everybody's well-being if, you know, this guy just disappears into the ether in which he came from.
Yeah. I don't understand how he's had the longevity that he's had.
Well, I mean, you know, let's look back at that. How long has he actually been around?
Probably about, I think he started just before I did.
Okay.
So going on maybe 4 years, 4.5 years for him.
Okay.
Maybe closer to 5. I suppose every ship has its fucking barnacles.
Right.
He just happens to be a barnacle.
Definitely a barnacle. But in that time, you know, he's basically been phased out of there. There's a guy that lives in Cleveland named Zach Hudak.
How unfortunate.
Yeah. Who has, you know, he was going to perform at Bounce on one of the comedy shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Zach Hudak is performing at Bounce, and I messaged Tim Cornette, who was running the show, and I'm like, "I saw you have Zach Hudak on the show. What the fuck is going on?" No, that's Zach Hudak, the guy that wears dresses, and I'm like, "What?" So you can friend him on Facebook.
Yeah.
He's heavily involved in the drag scene. And
that guy should get shirts. That guy, Cleveland Zach Hudak, should make shirts that say, "Not my Zach Hudak."
Yeah.
That would be fucking awesome.
But it's, you know, anytime he wants to get involved with anything comedy-wise, he has to, like, "No, I'm not that Zach Hudak."
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
The shadow world version of him has already fucked
Bizarro
everything up.
Zach Hudak. Yeah. Pittsburgh Zach Hudak.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, dude, he could fucking reign in Cleveland with that. He's like, "I'm the Cleveland Zach Hudak, not the Pittsburgh one."
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, which is amazing.
He could do pretty all right in Pittsburgh if he said, "I'm the Cleveland Zach
Hudak." Yeah, right.
That would be one of the first times a bunch of people in Pittsburgh would erupt and be like, "Yes!
All right!
This is great!" Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, a quick funny story about Pittsburgh is I was 8 years ago, going on 9. I went to a Bouncing Souls show. I was Bouncing Souls and Tim Berry at Mr. Small's. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mr.
Yeah.
Small's.
It's like a church.
Yeah, it's a really cool
sweet venue.
And they have like a skate park in there. It's really
cool. Pretty
rad. Check it out if there's ever a good show there. Fucking, if you're in the area, go check out Mr. Smalls. I got up on stage to sing a song with the Bouncing Souls, and they're like, "All right, what song do you want to sing?" It was like one or the other. And I picked it, and I was like, "I want to dedicate this to Cleveland." I've never seen so many people go from cheering to fucking booing. Like, just, I mean, instantly, dude.
Yeah.
And then, like, Brian I think it was Brian from the Bouncing Souls, the bass player, got on the mic immediately and was like, don't hate Cleveland because your dad says to hate Cleveland.
Getting some heat,
good,
huh?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I got some heat. I got major heat in Pittsburgh that night.
You fully committed to your heel turn.
I did. It was awesome. Yeah. I'm like I felt like Bret Hart in the late 90s when he was, man. In Canada he's the hero, in America he was the villain. It was great, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, I always have had that initial hurdle to overcome when I go perform in Pittsburgh.
It's like, oh, this guy's from Cleveland.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like the last show I did good at in Pittsburgh, probably the only show I've done good at in Pittsburgh, Howard Lester brought me up as from Akron. So it was fine.
They're like, all right, LeBron.
Yeah. So that I didn't have to deal with that, and I actually had a great set.
Right on.
Yeah. But, it's Pittsburgh has a lot of good things going on, and a lot of good people out there.
Yeah, a lot of creative fucking people.
And Zach Hudak's not one of them.
No, he's not.
No. And, it's another there's plenty of behavior that he has that's just flat out wrong, but one of the things he did do is he tried to get a Planned Parenthood benefit canceled because he's like, we don't tolerate that shit in this neck of the woods, because it was in Altoona.
Oh, dude, you just made me hate him more, and I didn't think that was possible.
he's an easy guy to hate, man. He's you could lob up any fucking topic, and he will come in and fucking pop the ball.
I'd like to say, if me and Jeremy ever did this show live, that we could donate the money to Planned Parenthood, but we're going to donate the money to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be willing to do it, like, after costs, but...
Right.
We do have costs.
Yeah, so. and I'm one of them.
Yeah. Ordano has costs. You have to feed him. We have to get him chapstick for his fuckable lips. Boy loses chapstick. So yeah. Got to make sure those lips stay silky smooth.
Hey, I don't do that. I don't lose chapstick.
No, I've had the same chapstick for like a month now.
I just finished a tube of chapstick the other day.
Is that what you call it now?
Like, it was a tube of it. Like I saw the little.
You're like, oh my god!
I saw the little button at the end of it. I was like, that's not even real. Yeah. That doesn't happen.
Still have it?
I had to buy a new one. I was like, okay, this is.
Oh, I thought you still had the
chapstick. I was like, this is what it must be like to find God. I was like, oh, that's amazing. There is an end to this. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can actually find that as a life event on AJ's Facebook page. Yes.
Reach the bottom of chapstick.
That's where I'm at right
Bought
now.
Bought new one.
I mean, you take what you can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But,
it's the story of my fucking life, dude.
Yeah. The other... And I feel like I'm saying more than asking questions this week, but it's just I'm very opinionated about this guy as well.
As you should be, though. I mean, and it's not like there's just such an entire air of hatred around him. So like, everybody's got to peep in and give their.
I mean, this kind of shit, though. I mean, like, I don't know if a podcast has ever been done at his expense before, but I mean, like. If you're going to be an asshole and you know you're being an asshole and you have to know you're being an asshole because people are telling you you're being an asshole, whether you agree with them or not, like, you take the good, whatever the good is for him, you take the good with the bad. Like, you're a piece of shit. Like, fuck you, man.
What it gets me, too, it's like, he thinks he's doing the right thing. Like, his big thing is he's like, I'm here to save comedy. Making comedy great again is one of his things he's been saying, and
when's he gonna start?
It's like he's like, I'm trying to defend us from the PC like liberal libtard commie tampons is what he kept calling people.
Tampons.
It's like, okay, man, like I don't understand how you're doing that at all.
Who called somebody a tampon and got in trouble for it? What was that from? People were talking. It was from Jonah Hill line in a movie or something.
Yeah.
And he called somebody a tampon. Oh, yeah. It was that babysitter movie. And, like, people, like, obviously got on his shit about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you didn't even. Oh, I hate people who steal shit, man. Ugh.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. Even if it's a line in the movie, like, I still don't care. It's principled.
Yeah, joke thievery is a whole nother animal.
Yeah, it's a whole nother animal.
You could have several shows about that.
Yeah, no, that episode will get done for sure.
Well, he's been accused of that too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I knew that too. But that's the right. That's the fucking least of his.
Yeah, because one thing I've figured out is that the reason that you don't call people out for joke thievery in public is because then if they realize that they're doing something wrong, they have the opportunity to hide it better and fix it.
Yeah.
And, you know, exist under the radar and continue to get better. Whereas if, you know, like anything, if you spread it around silently, it's just, you know, you pull somebody aside like, hey, man, like this guy is fucked up. And it doesn't get out on the internet, and word spreads around, and it becomes common knowledge. And all of a sudden, this guy's like, "I'm not getting work anymore. I'm not. Nobody is listening to my shit. Nobody's talking to me. What's going on? I don't know." And then they just fade away.
What's his podcast called? I'm not gonna listen to it.
I can't remember. It was on on Spreaker somewhere.
I just imagine the name's not.
I came
good.
Across. It was like the Zach Show or something like that. Yeah. It was very very like straightforward. Like.
He's also been a frequent guest on Jesse Huber and Matt Wheels on Esty.
Yeah,
did the Brew Crew radio show out of YSU, and then Matt started going to KSU.
Yeah, I was on that show like early on. Like I was a guest. Mm-hmm. Before Hudak ended up becoming involved in it, and that was probably like, I don't know, 2013. Yeah. So very early on in my
yeah, but Hudak is a frequent guest on that. So you know, that's a mistake. You guys are fucking up there. I don't know what you see in him. I'll be honest with you. You know, like I understand the desire to have somebody shitty around that makes you look better. And but you know, this is too shitty, and
it's shitty in the wrong way is what it is.
Because I mean, that can be that's the only motivation I can see for having this guy, on your, because he's not going to draw you listeners. His numbers are not, you know, at the point. His interactions, I won't say his numbers, because you know he had like over 1,000 followers on Twitter at one point,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, isn't necessarily indicative that he's popular.
He's got a lot of porn accounts.
I mean, it does indicate that he has some reach. But, you know, when I was following him on social media, it was the interactions are what you want to look at. And, you know, it's single digits in everything. When people are interacting with him, it's a very small amount of people that actually are showing support for this. So, you know, I don't see the point in having him involved in anything that you do, because he's not bringing anything to the table unless, you know, your idea of...
Unless it's roofies.
Yeah. You need somebody roofied? Well, there you go.
Yeah, start that business, dude. Get out of comedy.
Yeah.
Just get in the date rape business. He'll be fucking great at it.
The date rape business.
See, like a classic right here. There you go. Click here to support Hire a Mexican to Pull My Tampons by Amy Stubbs, a woman who is a double amputee. Classic Zach Hudak right there, guys. That's the stuff you're signing up for.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he looks like a fucking second rate Larry the Cable Guy. Like, that's whatever. I don't know this dude, and like I'm audibly angry.
Yeah. But you know, basically, he only gets anything done because he does it himself, which I do the same thing. I understand, like, you know, needing to do that. But there's a reason that he has to do that. Like, I still get asked to do stuff. The only things he has to promote is when he's somehow able to pay somebody like Reverend Bob Levy or someone else that was on Howard Stern years ago, enough money to come out to the middle of nowhere. And then he'll, you know, Joe McCormick just did a show with him, which I don't.
Yeah, somewhere in Pittsburgh, probably at Thirsties or someplace. I remember seeing that actually when I was just scrolling through here
and
trying to figure shit out. He's always bringing people in from like the Whack Pack group from Howard Stern.
Yeah.
It's like Medicated Pete and all that.
I mean, that's you know, like I said at the beginning, that's kind of where he drew his inspiration from, was that era of Howard Stern, where it's just, you know, it's all shock. But with, you know, the more I listened to the Stern, the more I like got what he was doing, and that there was actually some content there, and there was, you know, but, you know, if you try to ape that, and this is the reason I had to quit Muhammad's Radio, was because my producer was also in that vein where he just wanted to say racially edgy shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, the joke can't be that it's racially edgy. There has to be a fucking joke there.
Yeah.
And I was just sick of dealing with that. And this guy has made a fucking career out of it, and it drives me nuts. So, I don't know what else to tell you.
I think we've covered it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and it could be done. Could be done to death too. Like, I mean, this is one of those episodes that you could have probably just like taken callers, like different comedians from.
Why do you hate him?
From around like the entire 100 plus mile radius of Pittsburgh area, and everybody's had an interaction or seen him, you know, do a shit, and
yeah,
but it's all bad.
You know, if I mention your name on this podcast to somebody that has worked with him, that is your own fucking fault. You shouldn't have done it. And I hope you've learned to stop doing it, because everybody thinks less of you because of it. And that might not matter to you, which, you know, good for you. You shouldn't really care what everybody thinks. But, you know, this is a big fucking problem that we've got going on right now with guys that think that they can be just edgy and that's enough. It's not enough. We're comedians. We have to be funny. And if you're not doing that, if you're only trying to advance your agenda, then you have no business doing this, and get into motivational speaking. In Zach's case, he's probably a future Klan leader. So
yeah, he's gonna have his own chapter probably by the end of the year.
So
and that's only like what, a week?
Yeah. I mean, you could get that done, buddy, until they find out you're a Polack, and then you're done.
Then you're cooked.
Yeah.
All right. Well, AJ, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, Jordano, we have to talk about, we have to do our thank yous
now. Yeah.
More positive note. thanks to Pete, Milky Way Recordings. He records us here each and every week, MilkyWayRecordings@gmail.com.
Lucky son of a bitch is going to get Vietnamese right after this.
Very lucky boy. We're going to get Skyway because I want hot dogs.
Oh, you mean Skyline?
Oh, yeah. Not Skyway.
Let's just go to Steve's then.
Well,
it's cheaper.
It's cheaper, but I also want... Never mind.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Like, we've name-dropped too many people that aren't paying us. Let's name-drop people that aren't paying us. Rain Clothing.
R-A-N-E...
Check them out on Facebook. Check out the roster of bands.
They're live at this point.
They're live. Rainclothing.com. On a mission for music. And also shout out to Sam Holmes, recent graduate. That's Sam Holmes that you live in, not Holmes that you hang out with. She did our logo. She's great. I'm going to be hitting up her up for more work here real soon. Well, Jordano, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates Zach Hudak as much as AJ Georgie.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Discharge vapor. Daniel's a drunken man.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.